Welcome to A Quiet Life. I'm your host, Ruth Amos. 1 Thessalonians 4 says, make it your ambition to lead a quiet life. In this podcast, I chat to all sorts of normal Christians, asking them just how they live their quiet lives and how they integrate their faith into their daily life. I hope that by listening, you will be encouraged to go out and live your own quiet life to the glory of God. You can find the episode show notes, the Quiet Life blog, and other resources at ruthamos.com.au. That's ruthamos.com.au. Now let's get on with the show. Hello and welcome to A Quiet Life. I'm Ruth, your host. It's really great to have you here. This is episode 24 of A Quiet Life, and as I record this, it is Wednesday, the 3rd of April 2019. And today's guest is me. So I've been thinking for a while that it would be a good idea for me to answer my own questions and tell you a bit about myself. You know, it's unfair to get other people to answer these difficult questions and then not answer them myself. So today you will hear only my dulcet tones, and I hope that's okay. I'll try and keep this intro brief, but as I found when I was recording the podcast last week, I have trouble keeping things brief. So who knew? I like talking. That's probably why I have a podcast. So this week in my life, well, a couple of weeks ago, I asked you to pray for the Isham family, whose little boy Ned had leukemia. And yes, I am talking in the past tense now. Ned is now in heaven with Jesus and with some other good friends who we lost through the years. And that's what this week has been all about. So he passed away last Friday, and the funeral for him, he's 6 years old, and it's going to be fairly big. In fact, it's going to be incredibly big. So our family is fairly involved in the church and has been spending a lot of time down there trying to figure out how to fit another, 500 people into our church building to celebrate Ned's life. It's also made me think quite a bit about my life, about numbering my days. And if you go to my blog at ruthamos.com.au, you can see a few of my thoughts about that. One of the major thoughts is that quote by Annie Dillard that says, how we spend our days is how we spend our lives. And, the verse from the Psalms that says, teach us to number our days. They're both the same sort of idea. Like, what am I doing with my life now? To bring glory to God, how I spend my day, whether I spend it sitting there scrolling through Facebook or doing something more meaningful, it's important, because how I spend my days is how I spend my life. And we don't know the number of our days. We don't know when we're going to pass away, and it's good to keep that in mind. Now, I really want to make sure that you hear that I'm not saying we have to be busy all the time, because I think that restful contemplation and, yes, some scrolling of social media and reading books and even blobbing out in front of the TV sometimes is really important. But it's also important to make sure we stand for something meaningful in our lives, I think. Also, our book club is reading a book by Timothy Keller called Walking with God Through Pain and Suffering, and that couldn't be more appropriate right now, so I highly recommend it. It's an excellent book. It's not a light book. It's not an easy reading book, but it really does help answer some of the questions, some of the why questions that come up when something like this has happened. So, yeah, if you also want to know about our book club discussion on this book, there's a blog called The Word Made Flesh on WordPress, and that's our blog from our book club. If you come to St. Clement's, if you're a St. Clement's person, you can also come to our book club. It's at the McGowan's Place, and it's tonight, so you're very welcome to join us there. But, yes, if you're not able to make it, or if you live elsewhere, then feel free to check out The Word Made Flesh. On WordPress. And the other major thing that's happened this week is that I have recorded more podcast interviews and set up more podcast interviews. So I'm going to be doing a whole batch of recordings, and we've got some really excellent podcasts coming up. So next week will be Jenny Baxter. She does a podcast called Treasuring Mothers, and she talks about how the loss of her own mother has brought her to a place of wanting to support other people in motherhood. Her mother passed away when she was 16, so that's her story. tomorrow morning, I am interviewing someone who has climbed Mount Everest. In fact, he's climbed the tallest peaks in every continent, all of them, all seven. So that will be fantastic. And yeah, and I've got some other excellent ones coming up as well, so stay tuned. But today, as I said, you'll be hearing from me. I pre-recorded it. So if it sounds a little bit different, it's because I pre-recorded it. If it doesn't sound a bit different, it's because I pre-recorded it in the same place that I'm talking right now. Anyway, I hope you enjoy it. I hope it gives you a bit of insight into who I am. And yeah, I'll catch you on the flip side. Hello and welcome to A Quiet Life. And thank you for staying on and listening to hear this special show that's all about me. So, yeah, I appreciate those of you who've chosen to stay on and hear my story, because I don't have I'm not sharing anybody else's, I'm not interviewing anybody else, it's just me. So it's all a bit scary, but we'll see how we go, and I appreciate you wanting to listen and learn a little bit about me. I guess it's just a snapshot of my life, what I'm thinking right now. Can't share your whole life in however many minutes it is, and I'm sure there are nuances and extra things that I'll forget to talk about that will strike me as very important tomorrow or the day after or sometime in the middle of the night, and I'll think, why didn't I say that? But anyway, I'm going to give you what I've got now, and I hope you enjoy it. Here we go. First question, the way we always start, how did I become a Christian? So I was, like a lot of my guests, I was brought up in a Christian home. My parents are both Christians. My grandparents are all Christians. So both of my grandfathers were Anglican ministers. And as it turns out, towards the end of Dad's career, he also became an Anglican minister. So that's exciting. So yes, I do go to the Anglican church. It's where I feel at home. I don't think it's the church that has the whole truth, but it's where I feel at home. So I was brought up in a Christian home. And when I was 2 years old, that's when Dad left his job and he started living by faith. So by that, because we all live by faith, but by that I mean he depended on God for his income. We moved into community and we started asking God to provide for all our needs. And then after that, I was pretty much living in community for the whole of my childhood until I left home to get married. So we moved to fairly different different kinds of Christian community, but we've been in Christian community for all that time. So worship of God, especially singing worship, because my mum is a classical pianist, so she always led worship sessions, singing times. Bible studies, church, we always had a cup of tea with mum and dad in bed in the morning and prayed and read the Bible. That was part of our childhood. Now I just get the cup of coffee given to me in the morning, which I really appreciate. But anyway, so that was all part of my life. That's how I was brought up. I was christened as a baby by one of my grandfathers, and I was confirmed in the Anglican Church in grade 5. Now, I think looking back, I got confirmed because my brother got confirmed and I wanted to be like him. Having a big brother, you tend to want to be like your big brother. And yeah, so, you know, it was important and there was training in that, but it wasn't really that time of taking on the promises made at my christening for myself. Although, you know, you don't know, maybe it was in the level of understanding that I had in grade 5. In grade 6, my parents joined Youth with a Mission. And when we did that, it really struck me at that point that the Christian faith is a 24/7, 365 proposition. We moved into a monastery, or an old, used to be a monastery. There were 150 other people living there. All of the people there wanted to be missionaries. And so, you know, this life that they were living wasn't any nominal Christianity left there. It was all about doing this full time, you know, the relationship with God, knowing God all the time in all of your life. And that took me to a new point in my faith when I realized I couldn't sort of get away with things on the side when God wasn't looking, sort of thing. that this faith, if it was mine, it related to the whole of my life. So that was in Canberra. We were at YWAM in Canberra, and then we moved back to Hobart. We were with YWAM in Hobart. Dad was the head of YWAM back here. And I went on through high school and so on. Pretty much straight after I left school, went and did a DTS for myself, which was important, another important growth time. So that's the YWAM Discipleship Training School, the entry school to YWAM. And then came back home, and Moz and I got married, and we had children and all that. And all through that time, so right through my childhood, teenagehood, early 20s, if there was an altar call somewhere, I would go up the front for prayer. I would be in on it, you know, that I would feel the Spirit moving, and I would just jump in and go up the front for prayer. And after a while, it got a bit silly, because here I've been in the church for my whole life. I'm really dedicating my life to God, and I'm still responding again and again. Moz used to say to me, why are you going up? You know, you've made your commitment to God. So in my 20s, my siblings and I started to differentiate from our parents, and we started to go through probably what would have been called an adolescent rebellion had we been adolescents, but we weren't adolescents. We were in our 20s. I was married with kids, and my brother and sister were also married, and we went through some, not to each other, to their own spouses. We all went through some difficult times. Some seriously difficult times. For me, the difficulty was postnatal depression. For my siblings, they had their own struggles that they were going through. And they started to pull away from God, to turn away from God, to differentiate by becoming not Christians. And I realized at that point that I needed to make a decision. So, you know, as I said, following my big brother, doing whatever he wanted to do, that was important in my life. But here he was turning away from God. I needed to decide. I needed to draw a line in the sand. I needed to either go God's way or go my own way. And I just couldn't keep prevaricating. I couldn't keep, going up for altar call after altar call. And I chose God, obviously, otherwise I wouldn't be doing this podcast. And as a sign of that, I got baptized, fully dunked in a swimming pool. For me, it was really important to do that outward sign of the inner decision. And it meant that, as I went through more hard times, because we all go through hard times, I could look back and say, well, I've chosen God, and that's it. End of story. So, yes, when did I become a Christian? Well, that's just such a difficult question, isn't it? Why do I ask people these difficult questions? But God always had me in his hands. I believe that he has my siblings in his hands as well, and I continue to pray for them pretty much constantly. But for me, it was that journey of development and growing up. So now when there's altar calls, I don't go up and ask for prayer. I go up and pray for the people who ask for prayer. It's a different stage of my Christian childhood. Yeah, so that's that one. The next question I often ask is some variation of what do you do for a job? And for me, this is also a difficult question because I think it's an identity question, isn't it? So let's have a look at my job history. Think about what I did. I started out after school as a checkout chick. That was my first ever job. I was very excited doing the groceries. And then I worked as a bank teller and then got married. So I was 19 years old when Moz and I got married. And I was still working as a bank teller for a while. I really wasn't enjoying it. I'm an introvert. And so checkout chick and bank teller, where you have people coming at you every minute of the day. it was difficult. And you might think that it's not an emotional burden, but I tell you what, when I asked people how they were when I was a bank teller, they would tell me things like that they had stomach cancer and were dying, or that their son had run away from home, or that their husband was dying of motor neurone disease. It was an emotional burden. For the introverted me, it was absolutely exhausting. Jess was planned and born in our family about 18 months after we got married, and we longed for a child, and well, I did. I was just desperate to have a daughter, and Moz is joyously happy to have a child as well. not as desperate as me, but he gave in. And I wanted to be a stay-at-home mum. I think that motherhood is one of the most important jobs that we can do. And so I did that. I stayed at home with Jess. And that was a struggle for me. As I said earlier, I had a bit of postnatal depression, both with Jess and with Caleb when he was born 3 years later. I was bored. I needed something to do. So I tried selling Amway. Dreadful. I cleaned people's houses. I worked as a family day carer. All of these jobs were just completely inappropriate, not congruent with my personality type, but I tried. And after a real struggle with depression, I ended up going to university while the kids were still little. So I went to uni for the first time when Caleb was one, and I did it part-time. And I studied science, I studied chemistry, and I absolutely loved it. It gave my brain the food that my brain needed, and it was a joy. I mean, my friends used to just laugh at me because I'd be studying so hard. Why are you studying so hard? Well, this is my time for me. My work is at home with the kids, and my uni is just fun. So yeah, I enjoyed uni. I used to joke that I was a stay-at-home mum with a career woman inside, desperate to get out. And I finished off my undergrad degree. It took me 6 years, but it was good. And then I did honours and then I did a PhD. And those 4 years, honours and PhD, were full-time. I was doing the career woman thing. Moz had also actually quit his job as a Sparky and come to uni and studied, become a teacher. And that was really, really helpful because it meant that I didn't have that problem with school holidays that a lot of people have when they're looking after their children. Moz was home at school holidays with the kids and I could keep going with my PhD or my studies, whatever I needed to do. After the PhD, I kept working at the uni. I was lecturing and I was researching, did a bit of travel to Sydney and things like that. And 4 years into that, so 4 years post my PhD, that's when I realised that what I really wanted to do was write for a living. I wanted to become an author. So in that last 4 years of work at uni, I went a little bit part-time. I went 4 days a week instead of five. And I started researching how to write, and I started writing novels. And last year, in June, I finished up at the uni completely. And since that time, I have been at home full-time. So it's still very hard to tell people, but I am an author. I have self-published 2 novels. I have a third one that's with my editor, and I'm working on my fourth right now. And if you're interested, you can find my work on Amazon, on Apple Books and Kobo under the author name RJ Amos. I write clean, cozy mysteries. So fun, gentle, lovely, cozy mysteries, sort of in the style of Agatha Christie or Dorothy Sayer. Although I am nowhere near as good as them, but we keep working. The new one that's coming out soon is romantic suspense. So a bit of romance in there as well to be fun. So they're all under RJ Amos. You can buy paperbacks or you can buy ebooks. And I have also written a memoir, sort of memoir / self-help book. So it's called My Year of Saying No, and you can find that on Amazon or Koorong. Koorong has it on their website as well, paperback and ebook as well, but they're under Ruth Amos, that one. And I've written some short stories as well, and I love writing. I absolutely love it, and it's a joy. And then as part of my author business, if you like, I also have this podcast and my blog, which is the A Quiet Life blog on WordPress, or you can find it on ruthamos.com.au. So that's all the writing part of what I do. And I really enjoy writing. It's just so much fun. I love working from home. I love sitting down at my little desk each morning and sort of bashing out 1,000 words. But as you heard earlier, my goal was to make a living as a writer, and I'm not doing that yet. So, yeah, that's that side. But to pay for that, I also run my own editing business. And the editing business is fun because I edit scientific manuscripts, and so it helps me keep in touch with that scientific side of myself. And what I really would like most to do is work with scientists from non-English speaking backgrounds to help them present their science in clear English. But at the moment, because I need money, I edit anything anyone gives me, which is fine. Technical papers, scientific papers, annual reports, whatever people give me. But what I'm really enjoying is working from home, working by myself. I found something that is congruent with my personality now, and I don't end up exhausted at the end of every day. So that's a joy. People have asked if I always wanted to be an author, and I really don't know the answer to that, because books and writing has always been just a really deep part of who I am. And I honestly thought that everybody wanted to be an author. So when I started talking about the fact that I wanted to be an author, I'd say to people, doesn't everybody want to do that? And people would say, no, they don't. So my good friend, who's also called Ruth, she said to me, no, this is not a dream that everybody has. And I thought, oh, maybe it is actually my dream and worth pursuing. And I love it. So yes, I sit at my desk. I have a pin board in front of me now. So if you want to make me happy, you can send me a little card or notice put up on my pin board to encourage me. I've got some fun stuff up here, comics that people have given me and cards, and also, you know, work things like, people I have to pay or people I need to have over for meals. How do I share my faith through my work? Well, I write clean books. You might have remembered the chat that I had with Wendy, who is also an author, and we talked about the difference between being a Christian author and an author who is a Christian. The Ruth Amos side of me is the Christian author. The RJ Amos side is the author who is a Christian. But I hope that all of my books are clean and lovely, focusing on that which is just and joyous. And I try and share my worldview through my novels. And I'm hoping that people who aren't Christians will read them, because I'm hoping that it will help draw them towards the Lord, you know, that they'll water the seed that maybe someone else has planted, or maybe just plant a seed. So I really like to show the value of people. I love people, and I hope that comes out. And I want to be a friend in my writing, in my podcast, in my blog. I want to be a friend to people. One of the things I really love doing is having coffee with people. There's several people who I regularly have coffee and a chat with, and that's just such a joy. I really, really enjoy that. But you can't have coffee with 1,000 people a week. And what I'm hoping is that this podcast is a way that I can have coffee with you and be your friend, even though we are on different sides of the microphone, if you like. It's just a blessing to be able to do that, to share. My blog's definitely Christian, but what I found interesting is that a lot of non-Christians, or even people who will define themselves as anti-religion or atheists, will still read my blog. And so that's great. I hope that, again, that it's watering that seed, that it's drawing them towards God in what I write. So I have blathered on for quite long enough. Mel said to me, oh, well, if it's just you talking, you need to keep it short. This is not short. I'm seeing this. But anyway, I have two more questions that I need to answer. And one is, when do you feel close to God? So one of the times I feel close to God is at church. If I'm struggling with something, or I'm sad or feeling emotional, which happens quite often, and I go to worship, then that time of worship, that time of singing, it always breaks down the barriers and I cry a lot. I think church is a good place to cry. And in that time of worship, of music worship, when I feel the Spirit moving, I might dance as well. I've always danced in worship ever since I was a very little girl, and I'm really grateful that my parents encouraged me in that. I haven't had a lot of dance training. I'm not a professional dancer by any stretch of the imagination. I'm probably the least flexible person that you'll ever meet, but dancing is a way that I respond with my whole self to the Lord and communicate with the Spirit. And sometimes I think it's a gift for others as well. I remember there was a friend of mine who was dying, and she came to church and we sang a song, and I really felt like the Lord gave me a dance to do in worship for her. So I think dance is a strong emotional and spiritual communication that reaches behind the barriers that we put up in our minds and speaks directly to our soul and to our emotional core. And it's a beautiful thing when it's done right. I think also that's why it's can be done so badly or to reach in and stir emotions that aren't godly. But I think, used in a godly way, it's a beautiful spiritual tool. Also at church, I feel close to God when I take communion. I go to an Anglican church, as I said. And in our communion service, we go forward to take the bread and the wine and remember Jesus, and we kneel at the front step. And that physical movement of going forward and kneeling, that just makes me feel close to God and remember that he's there. And it's a blessing. And apart from church, well, I talk with God all the time. I remember one time saying to him, "I'm so sorry, I must be boring you to death." Well, not to death, but boring you with all of this talk. And he reminded me of that verse that says to pray at all times in every situation and giving thanks to God the Father. And so that's what I do. So anytime my brain isn't busy reading or writing or watching TV or scrolling social media, you can see I do things that keep my brain busy. But anyway, after that, I get in a conversation with God. So I often say thank you a lot and tell him how I'm feeling and ask him for stuff. Often he puts a person on my heart. I just find myself thinking about that person all the time. And I've worked out, I mean, it took me a while, but I've worked out now that I should always pray for that person if that's happening. Whether I know something's going on in their lives or not, I just lift them to the Lord. I love to talk to God when I'm walking on the beach. The beach is a really special place for me. I have some special beaches that I love more than others. I have my beach. You've probably seen, if you read my blog, you've seen me talk about my beach. Other people use it as well, of course, but I love it, especially in the winter when it's cold and there's not many people there and there's really big rolling waves and, can just have that peace and that serenity and joy in that. So, walking on the beach is another time that I feel particularly close to God. And finally, the one thing about God and Christianity that I wish everyone knew, again, this is, there's so many things, but one of the things that I wish everyone knew was that God was real. I listen to a lot of author podcasts and see a lot of spirituality coming up on Facebook and whatever around the Western world about, spiritual, let's feel spiritual, let's give thanks to the universe or whatever. It's pretty wishy-washy, it's take what you like and leave the rest. And, if it works out well for you, you take that and leave the rest. But we can't treat spirituality like that because God is real. So we can't take parts of him and leave parts. It's like cutting off someone's arm, He's not a theory. He's not something that we can just unpack. He's not an idea. He's a real person. He's actually God, very God. And so I think, for us in the Western world, in this materialistic society, we need to know that the spiritual world is real and that God is real. And for those who don't live in our super materialistic first world society, they need to know that God is real because they know that the spiritual world is real and they need to know that God is there for them in their spiritual battles and that God loves them and that God has sacrificed himself so that they can be one with him and all the rest. They need saving from that horrible slavery to other gods. So God is real, God is love, the whole gospel, and that doing things God's way is good. I remember figuring this out as a teenager. Oh my goodness, God set up the universe in a particular way. And if we follow his rules, it's not that they're holy or right or whatever. They're good. They're good. Like honey is good. Like secure relationships and joyful community is good. It's good to live according to God's law. It lines us up with the law of the universe that he set in place. So there's some things that I wish everyone knew. So that's sort of me. that's what I really have to say in answer to the questions that I ask other people. I hope that you've enjoyed listening. I hope that just having one voice has been all right for you. Next week, we would definitely have another interview for you. And I look forward to that. I'm pretty sure it's going to be Jenny Baxter, and I'm excited to talk to her. But thank you for listening, and God bless you. So for my final word, thank you again for listening. Special thanks to Catherine Joy for music. If you want to contact me, you can email me at ruth@ruthamos.com.au. You can find me on Facebook at Ruth Amos Author or Twitter at A Quiet Life. Don't forget to rate and subscribe to this show on iTunes, and feel free to share this podcast with a friend if you find it useful. Thanks a lot. See you next week.